Fridays on the Huge Radio Network are presented by BHS Insurance. For all of your personal and business insurance needs, go to BHSINS.com. That is BHSINS.com. They're based in West Michigan. They've been serving this state for over 80 years, and they can handle all of your business and insurance needs, no matter where you live in this great state of Michigan. Find out more at BHSINS.com.
All of Michigan loves an Ask Anything Friday on the Huge Radio Network. You can ask any question you want, from sports to real life, now at 1-866-838-HUGE. That's 1-866-838-4843 at Huge Show on Twitter, The Huge Show on Facebook and Instagram. Now, let's go to the man with all the answers inside the Auto Value Bumper to Bumper Parts Store Studio, the Huge One, Bill Simonson.
Hour number two on this Friday, March 27th, with Brett Hayes as our producer. I'm Matt Shepard. Glad you're with us. We already spoke with Matthew Boyd of the Detroit Tigers. John Teske, University of Michigan Center, will join us about 20 minutes from now. Bob Nightingale of USA Today had an interesting article today. He said Major League Baseball and the Players Association have reached agreement on key economic issues in hopes of salvaging the majority of this season. Now, of course, so much depends on what the government and what happens in this COVID-19 crisis, and I think it's fair to call it that. But they'd like to play, the gist of his article is they'd like to play at least 100 games, all right? They have no problem going with the regular season through October. They have no problem playing weekly doubleheaders. The biggest issue that was facing both sides before coming to this agreement was service time. Could they agree if there is a season, no matter the length, of whether a player should get full credit as a year for service or not? And apparently the two sides have agreed that if there is any season, players would receive a credit for a full year as if it were a 162-game slate. If the season is canceled, players will receive the same service time they accrued in 2019. So what that means, we'll give you an example. The Dodgers, Mookie Betts, he came over in the trade for the Red Sox. He could be a free agent without playing any games for Los Angeles. There will be a draft this summer. It'll be 5 rounds instead of 40. Rounds, according to The Athletic. Players will no longer get their signing bonuses up front. Instead, it will be deferred, paying 10% now, 45% in the following 2 years. And teams have pledged to pay players on 40-man rosters in a lump sum of at least $170 million up front. In the meantime, clubs have also promised their full-time employees they will continue to receive their salary through April 30th with no layoffs. Here's the other thing. Now, I'm not sure the article dove into this or not, but Bob Nightingale believes the Major League Baseball rosters, when they return, will expand from 26 to 29. Keep in mind, remember, this was the first year of what was going to be a 26-man regular season roster, where the trade deadline was a hard deadline on July 31st, and that the September 1st, the call-up rather than 40-man would be to 28. That was negotiated. Now, according to Bob Nightingale of the USA Today, Major League Baseball's roster, because of what has happened with the COVID-19 epidemic or pandemic, is going to go to 29. That is helpful for a team like the Tigers. Well, every team, of course. But the Tigers, what they'll be able to do now, and I didn't get a breakdown of the pitchers, because when it was 26, you could have no more than 13 pitchers. When it expanded to 28, you could have no more than 14 pitchers. I don't know how many pitchers would be the max on a 29-man roster, if indeed that's what takes place, as Bob Nightingale of the USA Today is speculating or suggesting or reporting, any of the three. Because Detroit has so many question marks in their bullpen, they only have two for sure guys. Joe Jimenez will be your closer, and Buck Farmer will be your setup man. If you've got 14 pitchers, that leaves you 12 spots. Now, you know, they love Gregory Soto. He throws really hard from the left side, doesn't get that many swings and misses, and doesn't have great control, so that's a little concerning. They like Cisnero. They like Brian Garcia. Okay, you got sidearm guys who are out there competing for an opportunity that you think, I mean, John Schreiber was sent down, but he would have been one of those guys who would have been in that mix. David McKay is a guy. Ronnie Garcia is a Rule 5 guy. He was involved in it. Nick Ramirez from the left side. A very interesting candidate here is Xiaocheng Zhang, the player they picked up from Cleveland's farm system, who throws it at 98 miles per hour. I'm missing the name. I'm forgetting the side. Nolan Blackwood. That's it. Nolan Blackwood, the side armor, who they got in the deal for Mike Fiers from Oakland in 2018. Maybe it opens up an opportunity for a guy like Zach Godley. But he didn't necessarily want to come out of the bullpen. He wanted to be a starter. Nick Ramirez is in that mix. So you've got, if you were allowed a couple more pitchers, Alex Wilson, by the way, would be in that mix. If you were allowed a couple more pitchers, that'd be a big boost, big help for Detroit's bullpen, because the bullpen is a big question mark for that team going into 2020. But those are some of the things from Bob Nightingale's article I thought you'd find interesting. It's something that, you know, it's tough for teams because they don't know. I mean, a team like the Tigers anyway, they were really relying on the final 2 weeks to get their roster settled. There's been jobs. Obviously, there's jobs up for grabs for everybody, but especially with this team, you still don't know who was the better third baseman, Jamer Candelario or Dawell Lugo. Now, my belief, it would be Candelario. Switch hitter, more power, they were both a little bit better defensively. Neither one is, you know, is Brooks Robinson. Not many people are, but you get my point. But that was a major decision that they still had to make. Who is going to be your fourth outfielder? I think Victor Reyes and Jacoby Jones and Cameron Maben is Kristen Stewart an automatic. That was a question to be asked and answered. He still had a ways to go. He struggled a little bit defensively in the spring. And perhaps the biggest was the backup catcher. Now, Austin Romine is a guy who's going to be your quote-unquote everyday catcher, but how many games do you expect an everyday catcher to catch? I mean, what is it you expect out of a guy? And Austin Romine has never been that everyday guy, all right? He's not a guy who is, and I think he can be, he has to be for this team. Austin Romine has got to be. Look, he hit .281 a year ago, which is really impressive. That was a career high for him. I don't think you necessarily need that. He had a career high 10 homers 2 years ago, but last year he played 72 games. The most games he's ever played in a single campaign is 80 games, and that was in 2017. He batted .218 that year, hit only a couple of bombs. Now, the following year, he played 77 games, only three less, hit .244. 10 homers, 42 RBIs. Would you take that? Yeah, for 77 games. But if you're going to push on him something more than that, you're going to expect him to play more games than 77. And that's the reason I asked the question. I think catchers, that I think it's the one position where you think defense first, offense second. So with that being said, when you look at the catcher position, knowing the wear and tear that it takes on you, how many games you looking at? I mean, Christian Vasquez last year, 482 at-bats. JT Realmuto, he's the gold standard right now. 530 ABs. That's a lot, man. That's a ton. That means he started, what, 140-plus games? Yeah, 104, thanks, Brad. 145 games he started for the Phillies last year of 162. I'd love to get 125, 130 out of Austin Romine. But that means your backup catcher is going to be in there for, you know, a good number, 40 games or so. You're going to have to move around Austin Romine, maybe get some more plate appearances as a DH once in a while to give Miguel Cabrera a day off or something like that. But let's say it's, you know, let's say it's 120 to 125. 130 is way too much, I think. Considering he's never played more than 80, a jump to 120 is an awful lot. I should probably scale that back. Let's say it's between 110 and 115 or so. Gives you quite a bit for your backup, Grayson Griner or Eric Haas. Eric Haas has been really impressive. So, there you go. That was an important battle that you had going on in spring training that you haven't seen enough of. Now, granted, you may get that opportunity back, right? Because when this league starts up again, you're going to have at least a couple of weeks. Some believe you're going to need at least three. At least a couple of weeks to get reacquainted and to see where they're at. How much of a group? Eric Haas was off to a really good spring. Does that carry over? A lot remains to be seen. Let me go to Cadillac. Tony is up first on this Friday, March 27th. Hope you and your family are well, Tony. How are you?
Good, thank you. Same to you, Jeff.
Thank you.
This is kind of a water over the dam question, but I've called the Huge Show a couple times, and they haven't been able to come up with an answer. I thought maybe you might. Can you tell me why the Tigers were so anxious to let Iglesias go? You know, he was fairly young. It wouldn't have cost them that much. He was their best shortstop, probably their best two-strike hitter, but it didn't sound as though they wanted him around. Was he a problem in the clubhouse or what?
Well, he dazzled defensively at times, but there were also times where he wasn't doing what they always wanted. What they wanted was, you know, when you're playing a certain shift, they want you to play in a certain spot, and he wasn't great about that. Here's what I would ask you. He batted .288 for the Reds last year, right? He had a pretty damn good season. He had 11 homers.
Yeah.
That's a career high for him. Why didn't the Reds pick him back up, do you think?
That's what I can't figure out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, oftentimes there's something underlying there. I mean, he went to Baltimore.
Right.
He went to Baltimore on a minor league deal with an invitation to spring training. So that tells you something too, doesn't it?
I'll be darned. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
He can dazzle with his glove and his arm. There's no doubt about it. He is fancy, and I enjoyed watching him play to a certain extent.
It was a little hot dog, yeah.
Well, that's okay a little bit. Punched things a little bit from an offensive standpoint. I don't think he had a lot of pop. I'd be surprised if he could duplicate the 11 home runs. And I think he kind of goes to the beat of his own drum. How's that?
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's the easiest guy to manage. Let's put it that way. If you recall, he and James McCann got into it in the dugout one day. And the reason is because James McCann wanted guys to play at a certain spot because of where they were going to pitch a certain batter. That batter then hit it to a spot where Jose Iglesias was supposed to be but wasn't. That led to the altercation. There's a few other stories that don't necessarily need to be shared. Iglesias, again, a guy who I thought was, like you said, he could dazzle with the glove. I would prefer less pizzazz and more consistency than what he provided. When we come back, John Teske who was a senior center at the University of Michigan, had his senior year cut short because of COVID-19. How he feels about that, where he goes next, and how he reflects on his Michigan career. He joins us when we return right after this on The Huge Show across the great state of Michigan.
You're listening to an Ask Anything Friday on The Huge Radio Network.
BHS Insurance services the needs of their clients in a way only a local insurance agency can. Now, you can find out more at bhsins.com. BHS Insurance has unparalleled access to over 57 insurance carriers with an array of diverse insurance plans, including home, auto, employee benefits, and business insurance needs. You can find out more about BHS Insurance and what they can do for you at bhsins.com. That's bhsins.com.
You know, people still walk up to me and say, "Man, have you lost weight?" I'm Steve Gruber, and I did lose weight, a lot of it. I did it with My Pure Health Solutions, formerly Nutrimost. I'm still surprised because it's been almost 2 years since I made the decision to drop the pounds. And with My Pure Health Solutions, I did it with a custom plan built just for me, and I'm so happy I did. I feel better. People tell me I look better. I lost 40 pounds. I still feel great. Find out more at GruberHealth.com. GruberHealth.com. That's GruberHealth.com. Believe me, if I could do it, so can you.
Huge cheer for my good friends at the Michigan High School Athletic Association. If you want the latest on the coronavirus, COVID-19, and its connection to high school sports in Michigan, go to MHSAA.com. That is MHSAA.com. You can also follow the Michigan High School Athletic Association on Twitter at MHSAA and search MHSAA. On Facebook for the latest on when high school sports could resume in the state of Michigan. All the info at MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. We also have some archived interviews at thehugeshow.net with Executive Director Mark Uhl on coronavirus, COVID-19, and its connection to high school sports in Michigan. You can hear those at thehugeshow.net.
This is the Huge Radio Network.
Twenty-two after the hour. Back with you on a anything goes type of Friday. So anything that you might have a question about, that's what I love about this type of format. I actually do this on a regular basis when I host shows. It doesn't matter what might be on my mind and my docket, what I may be talking about. Tony and Cadillac called in out of nowhere and just said, "Hey, you know, what about Jose Iglesias?" It's a good question. Something that's on his mind. It's not like we were talking about the Baltimore Orioles. It's not like we were talking about Jose Iglesias. It's a good question. You know? So feel free. Anything that might be on your mind. If I can answer it, I'll do the very best I possibly can, all right? Our Friday show brought to you by BHS Insurance. Go to BHSINS.com. Phone number 1-866-838-HUGE. 866-838-4843. You can follow the show on Twitter at Huge Show. You can follow me on Twitter at Shep Matt. Our Facebook page is The Huge Show. And we love your texts. Feel free. Just send the word huge to 21,000 to opt in. And that's where you can vote on the question of the day, the huge question of the day, or just ask a question. Because a lot of you, look, maybe you don't want to wait on a phone line. I've said this forever. It's not easy calling a talk show. All right? Some people just, they don't feel comfortable with it. That's cool. Text away, baby. And we'll make sure we do our very best to answer it for you. Our daily podcasts, by the way, are on thehugeshow.net. So our interview with Matthew Boyd, brought to you by the Metro Health University of Michigan Health Guest Line, and our interview with the upcoming John Teske will both be on there. And some of the other ones we've had on there, Xavier Simpson, for example, Mike O'Hara has been on there with us, Tim McCormick has been on there with us. Jeff Blashill yesterday, the head coach of the Red Wings. And as we mentioned, John Teske will be on there as well. He joins us here on The Huge Show across the great state of Michigan. John, how are you? I hope you and your family are well. How are you feeling today?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing great. Blessed to be able to talk sports to folks and give them a little, an escape, if you will, from what's going on. Because of what has transpired, it means that your senior season was cut short. How did you feel about that? How did you take it?
I was very disappointed at first. We were warming up. It was weird anyways, warming up in Indianapolis with no fans. And then when they took us off the court, we kind of had a feeling that they might cancel the game. We didn't know they'd cancel the tournament, even, let alone the March Madness and everything like that. And then on the bus ride back, yeah, I was disappointed. But like Coach Howard and what our AD was saying, like, safety first. And so I get that and understand that. And right now, first and foremost, everything – out there, you just got to stay healthy. And I get that, but at the same time, I was disappointed, but I understand what's going on right now.
John, I would guess one of the first people you reached out to talk about this and try to make sense of it would be your parents. What was the advice you got?
They just said to kind of just recap your whole career. I mean, you've had a great 4 years at the University of Michigan, even though you don't want it to end like this. You can be blessed to say that you played your best ball at one of the best universities in the world. And, you can't take anything for granted and just enjoy the time that you had there. And even though it got cut short, you can look back on all the memories you made on the highs and lows, and you can really kind of just take that. You can take that. And, really, they just said, don't really worry about it. This isn't the end of the world, but just kind of look back at the 4 years and all the memories you've made.
I was talking with your teammate and your graduation and your classmate, Xavier Simpson, the other day. For you two to have the all-time record for number of wins in a Michigan career means what to you?
It means a lot. I mean, coming in as a freshman, I didn't really know what that win would be. The winning record would be, or let alone if we'd even come close to that. And now for X and I to be able to share that record means a lot. And I give a lot of credit to my freshman year, guys like DeWalt, Mo, Zach, and like Mark and Dow, DJ, like guys like that just helped me win those games early on as freshman, and then continue as a senior, being that senior leader and leading the younger guys. And that's what we do here at the University of Michigan, is we win, and that culture is going to continue under Coach Howard, and to share that with X, it's a blessing.
John Teske, a Michigan center, joins us here on The Huge Show throughout the great state of Michigan, all Big Ten, honorable mention in 2019, but his career cut short because of this COVID-19. When you look back at how you drastically improved your sophomore year, you average about 30.5 points a game. You end up going your senior campaign at 13.5 per contest. What was the reason for the acceleration in your mind?
I think just having confidence in myself, just going out there and playing basketball, and really just kind of working on in the off season a little bit of everything, and going out there and playing the game that I know how to. I mean, my teammates and coaches know what I was capable of doing, and I just had to go out there and really show everyone else what I'm capable of. And really, I think it started with my confidence, and I think after that sophomore year, and then kind of starting last year too, just gaining confidence little by little each day, I think really helped me.
I would guess, as much as anything else, you're proud of your durability. You didn't miss a game in your last 3 years. Where does that rank on your pride list?
It's high up there. I'm very blessed and thankful for not to be injured the last couple of seasons. And just trying to go in there and just do my job. Come ready to practice, come ready to play. Staying healthy, and a lot of things people may not think about, just getting your sleep right, eating the right things, living right off the court, that kind of behind the scenes that people might not know about, just being careful and cautious in everything you do. And so for me to be able to play in the last 3 years without missing a game, it's a big honor, but I'm just happy that I was able to do that and help win some games for the University of Michigan.
What have you done since your last game? How have you trained in preparation for what you hope will be a professional basketball career?
Yeah, actually, the last week and a half or so, I've kind of taken some time off, just kind of get away from the game. I haven't really touched the basketball, but I've been out about running, working out like that, I went up when it was actually in San Diego for a week to visit my girlfriend. So it took some time to go out and visit her and her family. Just trying to just relax before I kind of get back into the grind of things.
How much do you lean on former teammates who are in the league right now to try and talk with them about what you can expect and what's the advice you're getting from them?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys I'm able to talk to, Iggy, JP, Mo, that they're more than willing to talk to me if I need any questions. And I mean, even Coach Howard and Coach Isaac as well, just leading and guiding me in the right direction. If anything is coming up or I need advice, they're more than willing to talk to me. And so I'm just thankful that we have like a brotherhood like that, that we're able to talk and they're able to help me through some times like this.
John Teske's with us here on the Huge Show across the great state of Michigan. You mentioned Ignas Brazdeikis. He left after his freshman year, didn't necessarily go the way he had hoped, 9 games in the NBA and a second-round draft pick. What do you think the biggest lesson he learned in that whole process was?
He followed his heart. I mean, he thought it, the best decision for him would be to leave, and he did. And I mean, he's even though he hasn't played many games in the NBA and the G League, he's been killing it. I've seen highlights of him scoring, doing different things to help his team win. And so I think it's a grind, and he's figuring that out, and he's still going. He's not stopping. I know him. His work ethic's going to carry him to the top, and he's just going to keep doing that as well.
It's a good answer. What's the goal then for you? What's next? What is the goal?
Next, I just got hopefully. My goal is to make the NBA. Right now, I'm trying to going through the process of signing an agent. Working through that with help of Coach Howard and my parents. But right now, I mean, that kind of working out. That's kind of like the last thing. We just all gotta stay healthy. That's first and foremost, and then just kind of go from there. Not really sure what will happen if the season starts back up or when everything is gonna start back up. But I just gotta stay ready, and just that's what I gotta do. Take it one day at a time. Just stay ready.
John, was the offense and your role much different under Coach Howard than it was the previous 3 years under John Beilein? And if so, how?
Yeah, it was very different. I mean, with Coach Beilein, I was more up top, the free throw line, 3-point area. And now with Coach Howard, he came in from the start. From day one, he wanted to play through me down low. And so I had to get back to being more comfortable with playing with my back to the basket. I did that a lot in high school. Mm-hmm. And I'm a capable shooter. And so just find that right spot to pick and pop or set screen and dive. But, playing kind of always – the first possession would always go through me, or if I didn't have anything, I'd kick it back out for a three or something like that. And so it was different at first, but I got more comfortable with that. And so I'd say it was very different.
Yeah, so that's interesting. Yeah, and so under those two systems, correct me if I'm wrong here, you could easily, during an interview with an NBA general manager or a scouting director, say that you can play either system, that you've excelled at both systems. Fair enough?
Yeah, definitely. Because Coach B, I mean, obviously for 3 years, kind of top of the key, being that playmaker, I feel like I'm a very good passer for being 7-1, and I have a high IQ for the game, and so just kind of knowing where people are going to be. And then when Coach Howard brought in his system, playing down low, just playing a little bit of everywhere, really, it's really helped me, I think.
What did it mean to you and Xavier Simpson, and to a certain extent Austin Davis, even though he said he's coming back for his fifth year, for John Beilein to be a Chrysler Center for your senior night?
That was special to see him up top there. He's done so much for Xavier and I. And so, I mean, I wouldn't be the player I am without him. And so I just give him a lot of credit. Him and his coach staff really helped me to be the player I am. And then kind of just bringing that bridge between him and Coach Howard and just kind of smoothing that transition out. And I think X and I did a tremendous job.
Your former assistant coach, Luke Yaklich, just named Illinois-Chicago head coach. Why do you think he'll be successful?
I think he's going to do very well there. I mean, I just know how he operates, how he goes about himself, the type of guys he's going to bring in, and his coach staff. He'll do a tremendous job. It may take him a year or two, but I think he's going to continue to move up the ranks. I know when he was here, he did a tremendous job with the defense, and he's going to continue that. And I think when he brings the right guys in, he's going to do a very good job.
Michigan center John Teske's with us here on this Friday. I think your 7-1 frame, the center in the NBA is almost like linebackers, how it's changed in the NFL. Today's linebackers are a little slimmer and more mobile. Today's centers in the NBA have to be able to stretch their game. Do you prefer one way or the other, playing on the perimeter or playing down low on the block? And if it's on the block, why do you think that has been phased out to a certain extent in the NBA today? You've got to be much more fluid as a big man in today's NBA, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. You got to be able to play both inside and outside, especially now. You got to be able to shoot the three. I mean, with how the game's changing, everything is kind of spreading the floor and kind of getting down lane, either getting layups, dunks, or shooting the three ball. And so as a big man, it's kind of either stuck in the middle or you're able to shoot the ball outside. So I think with my ability to shoot inside and outside, it will really help me. But I think a lot of guys either sometimes just one or the other. But I think having both will really help.
You're a huge Cleveland sports fan. Cavaliers and Indians. First the Cavs. How disappointed were you on how it was handled with your ex-coach John Beilein there?
Yeah, it was disappointing to see how that went down. But I know it's a business. And so, at the time I wasn't playing a whole lot of attention just because the season was going on.
Sure, yeah.
But I just kind of noticed that. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it is a business. I get why they make some of the changes they do.
And now the Cleveland Indians. Do you think their reign in the division is over? I mean, I know they didn't win it last year. The Twins did. But they are still a team because of Terry Francona and his ability as a manager being viewed as still one of the elite teams in the American League. Do you think the reign is over there?
No, I don't think so. I think, the division isn't the best. But I think with the pitching staff they have and Terry Francona, I'll bet on them every day. Starting with their pitching staff and then Lindor, some of the guys they have, Jose Ramirez. I think the division will be up for grabs. But it'll come down the last couple weeks of the season, I think. But I'm excited to get back to watching baseball again.
Yeah, but what happens if they trade Francisco Lindor, John? How much would that break your heart as a Cleveland Indians fan?
Yeah, it'd be tough. Hopefully they can get something for him. I don't know. We'll see what happens with all that.
All right. I did notice that you never mentioned Cleveland Browns. Would that be like me mentioning Detroit Lions because of our mutual frustration there with our professional franchises?
Yeah, I think so. Hopefully they can turn around too. They got a lot of offensive weapons, but they got to put it together. So we'll see.
That was, you got to admit, last year was one of the more disappointing seasons for you just because so much was expected of Baker Mayfield and company, don't you think?
Yeah, so disappointing. I knew from the start they made me not get like 10 wins. I thought maybe to go like 9-7 and be at least a little more into more games. But sometimes I was like, I just can't watch this anymore. It was bad at times. But I'm used to that.
All right, last one before I let you go. When you and your buddies get together and you talk, do you strongly suggest Baker Mayfield please stop doing commercials and just concentrate on football?
Yeah, they bring it up a lot.
I bet.
Friends. But my best friend, Luke Wilson, I can give him crap too because he's a Lions fan. So we give it back and forth, but we both know the struggles. So it's all fun, but hopefully they're able to turn around.
Yeah, well, the difference is Luke Wilson's team only has one playoff win in the Super Bowl era. One.
Yeah.
You have more than that. So feel fortunate, my friend. Hey, thanks for the time. I enjoyed calling your games for three quarters of your Michigan career. I wish you nothing but success. Stay humble, stay healthy, and stay safe, okay? Thanks for the time.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You got it. John Teske, former Michigan center, joining us here on the Huge Show across the great state of Michigan. Really good kid. His nickname, you know what his nickname was, Brett? I mean, look, you guys, I think you aired my Michigan games. I'm pretty sure you did on the ticket. I think that's part of the Michigan Radio Network. I could be wrong there. But anyway, his nickname was Big Sleep. Big Sleep. Yeah. Because, I mean, he's a very quiet guy. He's not a real boisterous individual.
Right.
He's not loud. He generally wasn't emotional. But once he started knocking down threes and players started to encourage him a little bit more, he became much more animated.
Mm-hmm.
They changed that from Big Sleep to Big Nasty. They didn't want them. I mean, here's the power of the mind, right?
Yeah.
The power of the mind. You don't want to be Big Sleep. It makes you feel like you're almost, I don't want to say soft, but not as intense, right? Big Nasty forces you to live up to a moniker where you've got to have a little snarl in you, right?
You got to step up your game.
Absolutely. And he did that for the most part. So they changed it. And will he get the next, will he get the opportunity at the next level? Well, we had Tim McCormick on the other day. And Tim McCormick thinks it's going to be a challenge for him at the NBA level. But John Teske, he was a guy, I can be honest with you here. When he came to Michigan and Terry Mills and I started watching him practice a little bit, and Terry Mills has an astute eye, I looked at Terry Mills and said, I'm not sure he's going to log a lot of minutes here. And he ends up being tied with Xavier Simpson as the all-time Michigan leader in victories. He becomes a force inside. He becomes an honorable mention. He becomes a most improved player. He becomes a rebounding award winner. He becomes a lot of things that John Beilein envisioned and many people overlooked. So hats off to him, and I wish him success at whatever level is next of basketball for John Teske. John Teske and that interview brought to you by Metro Health, University of Michigan Health Guest Line. If you missed any of that or the interview earlier with Matthew Boyd, both will be on our daily podcast on thehugeshow.net. When we come back, and coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll tease it a little bit here. A former Lion is in trouble with one of his ex-clubs because of the same reason he was in trouble with you as a Lions fan. And then later on in the 5 o'clock hour, the top 10 Detroit or Michigan athletes. I got into this debate on Twitter a little bit with a friend of mine who put out the best Boston had to offer. Could Detroit come even close, or could anybody else come close? So I gave my 10 for Detroiters all time. We'll see if I missed anybody, according to you, in the 5 o'clock hour here on The Huge Show across the great state of Michigan.
You're listening to an Ask Anything Friday on the Huge Radio Network.
Bill Simonson here with a message from my good friend Tom Rosenbach. He's a managing partner at Bean Garter. In times like these, your people are your greatest asset, and taking care of them is complex and stressful. It requires time and incredible attention to detail. You need backup comprehensive payroll services. You need the added security of an experienced team like Bean Garter and an efficient software. Bean Garter has both. They can process payroll for every employee and contractor, withhold the necessary tax, and offer a variety of time collection options. Pay your employees on time, every time, with Bean Garter. Learn more about Bean Garter and its services at beangarter.com. That is BeenGarter.com.
Get your free water test now from Wolverine Water. Since 1947, Wolverine Water Systems has been delivering pure Michigan water to homeowners statewide. Wolverine is a Michigan company, and every state-of-the-art water filtration system they deliver is custom-made right here. Get your free water test today by visiting WolverineWaterSystems.com. We'll send one of our trained water professionals to your home or business for a customized water consultation. Hard water, cloudy water, or foul-smelling, Wolverine can get to the source of the problem and make sure your next glass of water is crystal clear and free of impurities. No matter what your water's condition, we can handle it. If you've been wondering what to do, now you know. Go to Wolverine Water and get the best systems available for pure Michigan water. With decades of experience and systems made right here in Michigan, the choice is clear. So what are you waiting for? Get your free water test today from Wolverine Water. Visit WolverineWaterSystems.com. WolverineWaterSystems.com.
This is the Huge Radio Network.
Nice. Brett's given me two anti-ghosts already on this Friday. Thanks, Brett. I appreciate that very much. I'll be interested to hear if Huge has become a fan of anti-ghosts. Grand Rapids-based band. Very good. Very good stuff. Thanks. It's interesting how we peg people almost immediately. It's hard. Once somebody makes an impression on something, it's really hard to change our minds, don't you think? Well, in life in general, I think, but especially in sports. In 2014, the Detroit Lions selected Eric Ebron, 10th overall. They wanted Anthony Barr. He was number one on their list. Anthony Barr was taken just ahead of them. I wanted Anthony Barr. I thought Khalil Mack would be the best player in that draft. I don't know if he's become the best player, but he's one of them. All right. The Lions passed on Taylor Lewan, who would be their starting left tackle, on Odell Beckham, too much drama for me, but a hell of a player, on Aaron Donald, who along with Mack would be considered probably the best players in that draft. There's an argument there, all right? There is. There's an argument there for one or the other. But Aaron Donald immediately comes to mind. They passed on Zach Martin, who was an offensive tackle at Notre Dame but became an all-pro guard with Dallas. They passed on a guy like Brandon Cooks and Aha Clinton Dix. They passed on others, but those are the primary guys when Lions fans look back and say, how in the world did you draft Eric Ebron instead of? The most often answered is Aaron Donald, keeping in mind the Giants and the Titans and the Vikings and the Browns and the Buccaneers and the Falcons and the Raiders and the Bills and the Jaguars all passed on him too. The Rams, remember this. The Rams, who got Aaron Donald in that draft, at number 13, everyone says, oh, that's awesome. It's a stroke of do you know who they took first? They had two first-round picks. Do you know who their first pick was? Brett, any idea?
No,
I'll give
sure.
you a hint. I'll give you a hint. He would later play for the Lions. The number two pick in the 2014 draft was Greg Robinson, the offensive tackle out of Auburn. That's who the Rams took. The Rams valued Robinson over Donald. Jadeveon Clowney was taken ahead of him, too. He was number one overall. And most people would have agreed with that, even though they made a huge deal out of the hit against Michigan in the bowl game. Anyway, Eric Ebron went from Detroit to Indianapolis, had a Pro Bowl catching year in 2008. Had a career-high 13 touchdowns. Last year, he was all set for the Colts and hoping to contribute again, and the Colts were hoping for the same thing. And then they hit a snag. And the snag was because Eric Ebron struggled after the team started 5-2. They ended up losing 7 of their last 9, and Ebron had an ankle injury and basically shut himself down. Somebody asked General Manager Chris Ballard about Eric Ebron. He looked at the writer who said that and said, yeah, we're done with him. We're moving on. You know what the big reason was? They thought he quit on the team. So remember, all the people who 2 years ago started going, see, Eric Ebron, we should have been more patient with him. It was coaching, all this other stuff. Now he's going to Pittsburgh on a 2-year deal. Now let's see how they handle it. That was a big problem with the Lions. The 100% effort was not there all the time. He sure wouldn't be a top 10 Detroit athlete, but there are plenty from which to choose. We'll get into that with you when we come back in the final hour of the Huge Show across the great state of Michigan. Glad you're with us on a Friday.